And we are pleased to go to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. And welcome to the show, Blake Lovell from Southeastern14.com, who I've enjoyed talking college basketball with all season long. And Blake, it took an interesting turn to get here, but we get to the championship game with the two teams we spent all season long saying were the two best teams in the country.
Yeah, that's the case for sure, Josh. I mean, I think, as you said, we started off, I think there were people that some people were in the Baylor camp, some people were in the Gonzaga camp, and it was just a matter of seeing which one made it all the way through this unique season. And sure enough, they're both the two left standing, and yeah, it sets up for, you know, probably one of the most anticipated championship games we've had in a while. I mean, again, that's not to take anything away from any of the previous ones, but I mean, when you have the two teams that were picked to be the two best teams in the country before the season even started, and then as the season played out, you could tell that they were at times, I mean, far and away better than anyone else. To have them meeting each other for the championship, I don't think you could ask for a better setup.
Has your preview of the game kind of been altered at all by the way that the final four games went, with Baylor dominating Houston so much and Gonzaga needing everything that it could get to overcome UCLA in overtime?
Yeah, I mean, Joel, I think it's a situation where, I mean, for me, the one thing, and I don't think this is anything that anyone else hasn't thought of, but I'm curious about sort of the emotional, physical, draining type of game that one was on Saturday night for Gonzaga. And, you know, if you flip that, if they play the afternoon game, how much different is it? Because that's it's a quick turnaround no matter how you look at it, even though it's a late game tonight. But that had to take a lot out of them as their first, you know, big test of the season, the way that game played out. And so I'm a little curious to see maybe how that aspect of it, I think we'll know. I feel like we'll know that in the first probably 10 minutes of the game. If they come out and let's say, you know, they're a step behind, you know, obviously they're probably already going to be when you try to compare how quick, you know, Jared Butler and Davion Mitchell are for Baylor. But if Gonzaga's a little step behind early on and you see Baylor kind of come out and punch them in the mouth early, that would worry me a bit, because I don't know that even as good as Gonzaga is, they're going to find a way to score. But I don't know that that's a great setup for them, just based on the fact of how that game played out against UCLA. So that's something I'm curious to see. If they come out hitting shots, though, they don't look like they really missed a beat. I think that's trouble for Baylor. But either way, I think it should be a pretty competitive game from start to finish.
We're talking to Blake Lovell, Southeastern14.com. What do you like best about Baylor, this team that will take on Gonzaga tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's what we said before, and we didn't expect UCLA to be the one to do it, but, I mean, it was going to take a great shooting night to be able to match Gonzaga, I think, and that's sort of been the theme we've said all year is, you know they're going to get their points, and that's what I talk about, like, tonight. I don't know, like, maybe I'm leaning too much into that emotional aspect of the game on Saturday, but I still think Gonzaga is going to get their points, but I don't know that they're going to put up, you know, 90 points tonight. I'm not sure that that's going to happen against the physicality and aggressiveness of a team like Baylor. And knowing that, you know, for Baylor to have that perfect night, they shoot it as well as anyone in the country. I mean, they're the top three-point shooting team in the nation, and I think that's something you have to have going for you if you want to be able to beat this Gonzaga team, because Gonzaga's strength is making twos. I mean, we just look at the percentages. But Baylor's strength is making threes, and I think that's something that could really play a role. If they're hitting shots, you know, they get a lot of offensive rebounds too. I think that's a big part of it, to where even if they're missing shots, they're going to get some second chance opportunities. So I look at those aspects and feel like they're going to have a chance to maybe make things interesting if they're just hitting shots from outside.
So what is the one approach where Baylor can really attack Gonzaga? I know Gonzaga doesn't really have a whole lot of vulnerabilities, but what's the closest thing to a weakness that Gonzaga has that you feel like Baylor can go after?
Well, I think we saw UCLA expose that too, and I don't think Gonzaga is a great one-on-one defense team. They don't guard particularly well off the dribble. I think we kind of saw that a bit in that UCLA game. I mean, you saw the UCLA's guards kind of just sort of take it to them and get to the rim, and that's where you had some of the foul trouble come into play. And look, Gonzaga doesn't have depth. They don't have a ton. I mean, they're going to play their guys that we know they're going to play, and then maybe some of those guys, you know, come off the bench for 10 minutes or so, but the depth isn't, you know, what you would expect maybe on some other teams that you could compare them to. So I think that's the thing for Baylor is, you know, with Davion Mitchell and Jared Butler, two of the best guards in the country, and really, I mean, Davion Mitchell, one of the quickest guards in the country, period, off the dribble. I think that's something to where they're going to come out attacking, even as good of a three-point shooting team they are. They have sort of that double threat there to where they can take them off the dribble, they can make threes, and I think that's a little worrisome probably if you're Gonzaga, is if they come out off the dribble against tired legs already, again, saying if we think that's what's going to be the case for Gonzaga a bit, I think Baylor can really take advantage, and if they were to get some of those guards in foul trouble or get Timmy in foul trouble, I think they can win this game. So that's going to be the biggest thing. Is I think even as good of a three-point shooting team as Baylor is, I think they should try to take it to the rim, too, because they are so quick off the dribble. And as we saw against UCLA, I don't think Gonzaga is necessarily great when it comes to defending, you know, one-on-one.
Blake Lovell's with us, Southeastern14.com. So how does this play out? Gonzaga's a 4.5-point favorite going in. What do you think happens tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I tell you, I'm still probably going to lean on the Zags because I think that was an opportunity for Mark Few to kind of regain their focus a bit after that kind of game. Like I said, the one thing that I would be a little concerned about is just do they still have that punch after having to literally, you know, exhaust everything to find a way to win that game against UCLA. They haven't had a game like that this season. So that is a little bit, I think, concerns me in picking them in this game, knowing that there is that added layer of pressure, too, that's still there to where, hey, this is, we're one win away from arguably being called one of the greatest teams in the history of college basketball if you win the national championship. If you don't, that's the one thing everyone's going to remember is that you went undefeated the entire year, you got to the championship game, and you couldn't finish. Even as great as that Gonzaga-UCLA game was, that's what everyone's going to talk about. So I think there's that added pressure, too. But it's just so hard to pick against them. I say all that, and it's like I feel like until I see it happen, I don't know that I can pick against them, although I do think for Baylor, they have the offensive firepower to do it with Butler and Mitchell and Teague and those guys. I just don't know in terms of – I feel like UCLA, because they could slow the game down like they did, and look, at some point they just took off and didn't have to slow it down, but I think they played the perfect game plan. To me, the way Baylor plays is going to actually fit into how Gonzaga wants the game to play. I just don't know if Gonzaga is going to be able to play as sharp as they have before. I'll still pick the Zags, but I still think this is going to be a pretty tight game, and I'd be surprised otherwise.
Hey, Blake, before you go, Blake Lovell's with us, Southeastern14.com. Tennessee's in its offseason now. It's going to have some coaching changes, yeah. It looks like. Justin Powell announced he's transferring from Auburn to Tennessee. Thoughts either with that news or just what Tennessee's trying to do, probably trying to add a big in the transfer market, but what Tennessee is set up to be next year with the roster transitioning, Kennedy Chandler coming in and everything else?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I thought, guys. I mean, I was talking to someone last week. I thought that Tennessee is one of those teams just put in the unknown category. You just don't know what the roster is going to look like as of last week. And now that they have added someone like Justin Powell, I think that's significant just because you do know that you're losing so many guys, and, you know, it also gives you another guy on the wing that you can pair, you know, with Chandler and have those guys out there that can do different things, whether that's, again, score off the dribble, can shoot, that kind of stuff. And so I think adding him is significant for that reason. Elsewhere, like you said, I have to believe that they're going to have to really push hard to try to bring in a guy in the front court that can really make a difference for them. Just knowing, again, with Pons and Fulkerson and those guys. So I think that's got to be the priority. We know, you know, they've had some changes on the coaching front, too. And so that maybe puts them in a position where they want to get those roles filled as quickly as possible, you know, with Desmond Oliver taking the ETSU job here most recently. So I think it's an interesting offseason for Tennessee because they do kind of have to revamp the roster a bit. And, you know, they're still one I'm probably going to have in sort of that wait-and-see category, just to see how they fill out that roster heading in next season.
Hey, Blake, we appreciate the time as always. Tell people about what's going on with Southeastern 14, especially as SEC baseball is just, it's playing at an all-time high level, I think. And Tennessee's in the mix there, top 10 team when you look at polls. But what's going on at Southeastern 14 covering SEC baseball and then everything else in the league?
Yeah, you said it, Josh. I mean, we got a lot of baseball coverage over there at Southeastern14.com. I mean, just lots of notes and storylines and podcasts and all that stuff, just kind of keeping up with everything. As you mentioned, just what a season it's been thus far for the SEC. I know Tennessee, of course, right there. And, yeah, you just got so many teams that are just battling it out there near the top. So, yeah, you can check out all our coverage of that over at Southeastern14.com. Of course, we have basketball, football coverage as well. So, yeah, check all that out over there.
Blake, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much for joining us today. Enjoy the game tonight, and hopefully we'll catch back up with you here soon.
Sounds great. Thanks, Josh. Thanks, Joe.